we have a lot of construction going on, so just accumulate a box of bunch of mess.
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to clean it up for to look better. Again. It's been a job. And then I've had my hands up. I was hauling some heavy stuff, and the wheel came off. I was hauling a barrel with some junk in it, and just wheel threw everything off. My son said he fixed it for me. Anyway, it's just too heavy to carry by hand. That hand truck is not great. You got one of the big ones, the heavy duty, to carry it. I put it on the There's always something to do out there, but the country. You'd love it out there. There's fruit trees. We've got some pretty fruit trees on. And the orange trees, we've been transferring our trees from Timber up there. And it's been a job. Some of them are about 10 foot tall. So we're trying to move them. We made a pile of oranges.
Brother Jim, can I start off with you?
Yeah, we can. You ready to start now?
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the revival tonight at Northside Baptist Church. And on behalf of our beloved pastor, Brother Jeff Spencer, we're going to sing our old faithful song here that we start out with on revivals. We need revival. Page number 75. Page 75, if you'll turn there, everybody. It's in your folders, yeah. I'm not sure the page and the folders, but it's in there. I think it's toward the back, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, y'all want to stand, stretch your legs a little bit. Might take the opportunity, might be a while before you can stand again. Here we go.
There was a time when the Spirit of God moved in a mighty way. There was a time when the people of God lived godly way. Something's wrong. It's time to turn around. Something's wrong. It's time to heed the sound. We need revival. All across the land we need revival. It's time to take a stand. We'll fall on our knees and pray. And turn from our wicked ways. We need revival. And this is the place. We're the ones who must make a choice. Now is the time. We dare not hesitate. People of God must lift their voice. We must be strong in the power of God's name. We must be strong. This darkness needs our lamp. We need revival. All across the land, we need revival. It's time to take a stand. Let's fall on our knees and pray. And turn from our wicked ways. We need revival. All across the land. We need revival. All across the land.
If you want revival, you need to turn over to page number 292 and do as it says. Amen. 292. His way with thee. And I'll even let you sit down on this first song. Amen. Brother James made you. That way the preacher's not the only one that makes you stand up. Amen.
Would
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with Him within the narrow road? Would you carry all your load? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best for Him to have His way with thee. Would you have Him make you free and follow at His call? Would you know the peace that comes by giving all? Would you have Him save you so that you can never fall? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can fill. His love can fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best for Him to have His way with thee. On the last, would you in His kingdom find a place of constant rest? Would you prove Him true in providential tests? Would you let Him have His way with thee? I want to see if you're singing. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best for Him to have His way with thee. Amen. Isn't it good to be saved? Amen. Isn't it? Now listen, there's a lot of miserable saved folks out there. You say, preacher, how do you know that? I mean, they're saved. They shouldn't be miserable. Well, I mean, that should be. But when you don't let Him have His way, you're miserable. You're miserable. You become, instead of the yoke of rest, now you're in the yoke of resistance. And it's miserable when you're pulling away from the Lord instead of just going with Him. I'm thankful about that peace. I think about, I'm not trying to preach, but I just think about that rest that He promises us and that peace that comes by giving all. Amen. You realize that that's what this world doesn't know? I was listening as folks want to come to an end of 2020. And listen, I'm thankful it's behind us, but you don't know what's in front of us. It's very possible that 2021 is going to be more stressful, more concerning. I mean, more hazards going on. I mean, just all the warning bells and the sounds and the economy and everything that's going on. You say, preacher, I thought you was here to encourage us. I am. Because I can still have peace. And I can still have rest in Christ. I'm just going to give Him my all. I'm going to let Him have His way in 2021. Listen, I want to see Him do great things in my life. Amen. Amen. All right, take your hymn books over 244. And I know some of you are going, preacher, we haven't prayed yet. You'll be all right. Amen. I've already prayed today. I hope you have. I've already read my Bible today, and I'm not talking about just what Brother Danny had read. Amen. Some of you are going, preacher, are we supposed to? Amen. Anyway, 244, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Aren't you glad? I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already gone,
endless days to sing God's praise.
I think we skipped that third verse, didn't we? Or did I start that and then I went to the second? Amen. All right. Well, let's start the third verse again. All right. It's good enough to do. All right. Here we go. I was just getting into it. Amen. Here we go.
Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace hath brought me safe. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Let's praise God.
Praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God. God, praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God.
Amen, amen. You got a song for the choir, brother?
Well, I do one.
Yes, sir.
I wasn't.
Yes, sir.
Let's do the old
story. That'll work. Hey, I think I got you upside down. I'll let you. I throw your book around there.
Yeah, I got to work on that book.
It's in bad shape, like me. It needs a little repair. Page 76, everybody. Page 76. The old story will never grow old.
Amen.
I'm glad. A little over 25 years ago, on a July summer night, the Lord said, James Burke, you ain't saved. I lived the lie for many, many years. My wife and I used to argue about it. She'd say, what's your testimony? And I didn't have no testimony. Anyway, I thought my righteousness was good enough, you know, which I didn't have righteousness.
Right.
But anyway, I was living the life of a lie. The devil will make you think you're saved.
Yes, yeah.
And he'll just use you.
Right.
And when he's used you up, then he'll throw you out and
right.
Get rid of you. But anyway, I'm thinking the old story never will grow old. Here we go. Y'all ready? Okay.
I went to church one lonely night, and I sat way back, for my soul was not right. The preacher was preaching how Jesus died for a sin-filled world. He gave up his life. Oh no, the old story will never go. How Jesus died to save our souls. Oh no, the old story will never go. That story will never go. I went to the altar and knelt down in prayer. Lord, please have mercy, and he pardoned me there. He lifted my burden, brought peace to my soul. What made my life new was a story so old. Oh, no.
Grab your hymn book, 227. Let's stand. Saved by the blood. Amen. I love those old blood songs. Amen. I am a blood song preacher. Amen.
I love to preach about the blood, sing about the blood, tell others about the blood. Amen. You know, it's
funny
how it all works, because the world wants to tell you about all the gloom and doom. I want to tell you about the life's in the blood.
Amen.
It's amazing how it works. It's still going to be there. I'm thankful it's still the old story. It has not changed. It's not going to change. And if you're going to heaven, you're only going because you're saved by the blood. Amen. Amen. Saved by the blood. Saved by the blood of the crucified one, now ransomed from sin and a new work begun. Sing praise to the Father and praise to the Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. The angels rejoicing because it is done. A child of the Father, join heir with the Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. On the third, saved by the blood of the crucified one. Father, he spake and will it was done. Great price of my pardon, his own precious son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Glory, I'm saved. I'm saved. On the last,
saved by the blood of the crucified one. All hail to the Father, all hail to the Son, all hail to the Spirit, the great three in one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Saved by the blood of the crucified one.
Amen. Don't get seated yet. Brother Richard, if you would, open us in prayer. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. What a blessing. Amen. I'll have the youngins get ready. Amen. Amen. Titus, Isaac, and Lydia, it's good to have them back with us. It's been a blessing. I'm glad to see that they've grown up. They're not quite as gray as their grandpa on his beard. Amen. I was looking, though, when I did get them mixed up. Say, preacher, how in the world did you get them mixed up? Well, I thought Lydia was the oldest. Amen. And I'd have said, no, my name's not Lydia. But I did look to see if he had any gray hair, and he didn't have any yet, brother. He didn't have any yet, but it's definitely a blessing to have them. And I want you to pray for them. I do. I want you to pray for them. Three young children out here in this world, and Satan would like nothing more than to just destroy their lives. And yet I'm thankful there's a God in heaven that's bigger than Satan.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Satan's not a God, by the way. That was a lowercase. I don't know if you noticed that this morning in the message. That was a lowercase God of the world. He thinks he's a God, but he's not. Amen. And God can protect all of our children as much as he can protect us. Amen. Amen.
I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Your touch was what I longed for. You have given life to me. Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Your touch was what I longed for. You have given life to me. You have given life to me.
Amen. I'll have Sister Pam start coming this way. Jacob's ready to go. We'll give the kids time to get down. Amen. Listen, it is a blessing. You know, I've heard folks say that there's no way that kids can know what broken lives are and broken homes. I'm telling you, my boys, especially my older two, have been there when Dad gets the calls, have seen the family, seen the home, seen the heartaches. Amen. I'm thankful you don't have to experience it to know what God can do. Amen. And know that every time He's there to do it again. Amen. Amen.
He's all I need when I just need someone to talk to. He's always there to hear my prayer each time I call him. And all my needs He will supply. My thirsty soul He'll satisfy. And He's the Lord of all, and He's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary, eases every pain, fills my deepest longing, time and time again. feeds my soul. Inspiration, my heart. Consolation, He's my everything. He's all I need. He's all I need. I dare not turn to any other, for He's a friend, a friend that's closer than any brother. And on this friend I can rely to be my strength when life goes by. And He's the Lord of all, and He's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary. He eases every pain, fills my deepest longing. Time and time again, He's my soul's inspiration, my heart. Consolation, He's my everything. He's all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. He's my everything. He's all I need.
I'm thankful that he satisfies. You know, Brother Danny, I can't help but always remember, oh, taste and see. Amen. And boy, I'm thankful. He's still just as sweet today, just as good today. Amen. Amen. God's still good. Amen. Amen. Brother, you come on.
He wouldn't be real.
That's right.
But He's real. Amen. Hallelujah. Things of this world always changing. You notice that? I hate to bring this up, but if you notice, forgive me. If you notice the beer commercials on TV, they're always upgrading. Amen? They're always coming out with a new one, a light, a heavy, and a mediocre. I don't know, but they're always changing them. You know why? Because it really doesn't satisfy. That's the bottom line. That's the reason they're always changing things, because it really doesn't satisfy. Can I tell you that Jesus, He's been satisfying souls for years and years and years, and He hasn't changed. He said, I am Jesus. I am the Christ. I change not. Amen? He never changes. Praise the Lord. What a God we've got tonight. What a Savior. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. It is good to be here. I didn't say anything about it this morning, but we've been looking forward. And I'm serious, folks, and I know you think that us preachers, we just say that wherever we are. But I can honestly say we've been looking forward to this meeting ever since last year.
Amen.
I mean that. We enjoy being around you, folks, even if we have to keep a distance. Some of you I've always worried about. Has nothing to do with COVID, amen? But I've always wondered and worried about some of you and wanting to keep a distance. Has they got... God finally answered my prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh. But really, we love you folks. We love being with you. We love you. I mean that. Y'all are such a blessing and an encouragement to us. And to let our grandchildren, to ask them to come and be a part of this, What a joy it is. What a joy it is to see them up here serving the Lord, playing the piano, singing, raising their hand as a testimony of God's goodness and mercy. Oh, praise the Lord. I tell you, God sure is good. Thank you all for letting Him work through you and being a blessing to us. I feel like when we come, we leave here with a lot more than what we came with. And I mean that in the Lord. And I praise the Lord for that. And thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for letting us come back. And boy, I tell you, this old COVID stuff had us concerned about whether we're going to get to come or not. And I'm sure glad that we were ready to sneak across the border and come anyway. Amen. But we're just glad to be here. Praise the Lord. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew chapter number 16. We preached this morning about the gospel. Thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's the power of God unto salvation. Amen. This gospel, listen, we referred to it, remember, as a light. Now, I do not mean that Jesus is this small. Amen. He's bigger than what you and I can ever hold. Amen. But we talked about the gospel. The gospel is this light. It brings light into a dark, dreary world. This light is not, and we're not really going to preach on the light tonight, but just heading that way, it seemed like. But this light not only gives light, but it warms the soul. Amen. This morning, Isaac was sitting over there in the sunlight of the window and got kind of heated up. Amen. And that's what the S-O-N does. He'll warm us up when the old weary bones are kind of cold and we get a little bit cold toward God and His way. And praise God, the light, Jesus Christ, warms us up. Amen. I'm thankful for Him and I'm thankful for this glorious gospel. In this gospel, what the gospel does, it points us to Jesus. It really points us to Jesus. Amen. By the light. It lightens up our life. We see ourselves. You remember when? You may not remember a date, but you remember when you first saw yourself as lost.
Yes.
What happened was, like we said this morning, the light came on.
Right.
Amen. And because of that light and it coming on in our life, and I'm going to be individually in my life, because of that light coming on in my life, and I realized what a sinner I was. That light, that same light, didn't change lights. But that same light pointed me in the direction to one who can forgive me of those sins. Amen? And Jesus came alive in my life. He was already alive, but He came alive in my life. And I'm thankful for that. And we get to think about it, and we, you know, the world is not sure about which Jesus we're talking about. And you say, are there more than one? I'm afraid there is. There's always, the devil has always had not a counterfeit, but counterfeits. Really, we say he's always got a counterfeit, and he does, but he always has more than one. Just in case you don't fall for that false one, he'll give you another false Jesus. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Let's look at our Bible and find out what the Bible says about who Jesus is. Matthew chapter number 16, and beginning with verse number 13. If you'll stand with us tonight, Matthew chapter 16, verse number 13. And we'll say, as we've always said, we have nothing new to preach to you tonight. Same old Jesus. Same old Jesus. We have no new place that we're going to. Same old heaven. Amen. Same old home of the saved. Amen. Praise God for that tonight. Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 13. The Bible says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and other Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's pray. Father, thank You, Lord, tonight for Your precious Word that reveals to us the truth. Jesus is the darling Son of God. Lord, we thank You for this great truth. For Lord, built upon this is a marvelous plan called salvation, whereby we might be saved. We thank You, dear Lord. God, we pray tonight that You'll just meet with us and stir our hearts tonight. I don't know what You want and which way You want us to go tonight. I thought I did. But Lord, God, You know. You know exactly what we're needing tonight. I pray You'd help us in this area. And then, Lord, help us to be willing to let that light shine that we might see the direction You want us to go in. Lord, as individuals tonight, You've got something for each and every one of us. We thank You. We pray You'd meet with us and bless now, Lord. Thank You again for the song service that's already been. Lord, the time of praise, the time to lift You up with our voice. And now, Lord, help us, God, that we worship You in truth also, Lord. Help us, dear God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here in Matthew, of course, we know what's going on. Jesus is asking them, "Whom say ye that I am?" And then Simon Peter answers, and he says, without any hesitation, you'll notice Simon Peter, he's quick, amen, sometimes too quick for his own good, amen. I'm not condemning him. Praise God, more of us ought to be like that, amen, be quick to the draw and just say what's on our heart. And so Peter does, he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." When I read that, I kind of look at it like there was no hesitation. There was no thought about, is this right or is this wrong? It sounds like to me old Peter already knew who Jesus was. Amen. I mean, I don't mean who he thought. I mean, really strong thought about who he is. I'm telling you, I think Peter was saying, I know whom thou art. Amen. I believe he was settled on this thing, and there was no hesitation. There was no afterthought. My friend, he knew who Jesus was. And so I'm glad that the Bible records this. This is the Word of God. And God saw fit to have this portion of Scripture in the Bible. Isn't that something? This is as much the Word of God as John 3:16. Amen? And so we need to regard it that way. So Peter recognizes who the Lord is. And we look at the world today and they don't know which Jesus to believe in. Because you see, listen, some preachers will preach a Jesus that you got to work for. I mean, you got to work for Him. There's got to be works or you don't really know the right Jesus. That's what they'll say. And they go with that, my friend. They're just making up Jesuses all the time. I mean, you and I, if we're not careful, we'll start following after a different Jesus. Amen. A lot of people do. Do you realize there's a lot of folks tonight that's sick? And my friend, they do not believe that Jesus is the Jesus of this Bible. But they do believe in a Jesus. And they will follow that Jesus to the end of the earth. And then die in their sins and go to hell. I'm glad. It's not about me being right and you being right. My friend, it's about us believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He says that we'll believe, we'll be saved. Amen. Not just in any Jesus, but in this particular one. I look at the Scriptures and I find some people, and there's a lot more than what we're going to talk about tonight. But a few folks that I want to look at their testimony, that we might find what their testimony is about. We look, first of all, excuse me, in the book of John in chapter number 18. In John chapter number 18, turn with me there. In chapter number 18 and verse number 37, John 18:37, the Bible says, "Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him," now, this is strange, but look what he says. "Pilate saith unto him, What is truth?" Yeah. What is strange about this to me is it seems like this past year has been a year of really unfolding the fact that the world does not even know what truth is. Right. Right. This is some 2,000 years ago. Yeah. Do you know our politicians today? That's what Pilate is. Do you know our politicians today? My friend, just about every one of them stand on the same platform as to what the truth is. They know no truth. There is no truth. Amen. That's the reason there's such a cloud over the United States of America, my friend. That's the reason there's such a heaviness, my friend, in the hearts of people that live in this world. Do you realize without truth, there is no hope? There is no hope apart from the truth that there is. Amen. And the Bible declares unto us, this is truth.
Yes.
Amen. The Bible is truth. It does not contain truth. It is truth.
Right, yeah.
My friend, if this is all that we had to go on was the Bible, it would be enough.
Yes, right.
Amen.
Yes.
But the world doesn't know anything. That's the reason. Excuse me. Sometimes our job is to do a little meddling.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
That's the reason there's such a cry out for Black Lives Matter. You say, whoa, Brother Danny, wait, you better back up. I don't have to back up.
Right.
I'm tired of being run off and of a place where I was born just like into it, just like everybody else was. Amen? Listen to me. What we need truth. Truth will set us free, my friend.
Yeah.
These movements, and that's all that Black Lives Matter is a movement.
Right.
And these movements are just like everything we've already said. They're always changing.
Right.
They always change.
Right.
My friend, we need truth that will really set us free. Black Lives Matter will not set us free.
Yeah.
You know what it does? It binds us and bounds us to an untruth. Amen. You say, are you against black? I did not. Listen, that's the problem, you see. When folks don't know truth, they think that they hear something they didn't hear. I did not say that I didn't love blacks. This has nothing. Black Lives Matter has nothing to do with blacks. And if it does, it really is wrong, isn't it? If that's all that matters. Amen. I don't know what y'all think out there, but I'm just telling you the truth.
Amen.
You may lose more subscribers than what you're getting in, but bless God, it's the truth. It's about time. Hey, we backed up and backed up and backed up to try to keep from hurting folks' feelings, so we've done backed off of the cliff, my friend. And there is no truth. Pilate, a politician, he said, what is truth? He doesn't even know what truth is. But he's coming so close to it. But closeness doesn't count. Look again there in verse number 38. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him, talking about Jesus, no fault. I find no fault. As a matter of fact, he says, at all. You know what that tells me? If somebody tells me something and says that's all, they're describing something making it very clear in saying, and that's the whole matter of it.
Right.
Amen. That's the whole matter of it.
Yeah.
Pilate, he's not just saying that Jesus is truth in this one particular area.
Right.
He's saying Jesus is truth. Period.
Right. Right.
Well, what does that mean? In everything,
yeah.
Jesus is truth.
Yeah.
Pilate recognized that. Evidently, there was more to this than what God allowed to be printed down. Pilate done some research.
Right.
And this is what he found out about Jesus. He has no fault.
Right.
There's no fault in him.
Right.
That means there's no wrong in him.
Yes.
There's no false accusations about him.
Right.
Everything is truth.
Yes.
Amen. That's what he's declaring. Well, what a testimony from a lost person.
Right.
A lost person, my friend. Pilate was very much lost.
Yeah.
And, oh, what a testimony. He gave a better testimony than most of us Christians do.
Brother, yes,
amen.
Yes.
He said, I find no fault in him at all.
Right.
I mean, he's talking to a congregation of people, a multitude that is gathered together outside the judgment hall. And, my friend, he is telling all of them, I find no fault in this man. None at all.
Right.
Lord, sometimes we Christians, we live like God is truth, Jesus is truth in certain areas, but not in every area. Let me remind you, He is truth, and in Him is no fault at all. What we need to do is get to believe in Jesus for who He is. He is an individual without any faults whatsoever. He's got the right to say yay or nay. Why? There's no fault found in Him. Amen. Boy, aren't you glad that you serve a risen Savior today that there is no fault in? Amen. None whatsoever. I mean, there's no need in me backing up and apologizing for anything I've said. My friend, why? Because there's no fault in my Savior.
Right.
You may not like what I've said, but nevertheless, it's the truth and it will stand. And let me remind you of this. Every one of us, whether we're out yonder in TV land, whatever you might want to call it, or whether we're sitting here on the pew, my friend, listen to me. We're everyone going to stand before God and give an account of our life.
Right.
How we've lived for the Lord.
Right.
We better do some more backing up, but we better back up from the things of this world. We better get in touch with God tonight. We're running scared tonight. We're afraid, my friend, to even stand up for anything that's right. But Pilate, here he was, a politician, my friend. Listen, I mean, he could have played the political role and never said a word about Jesus. But for some reason, he gave a testimony. I find no fault in him. Do you realize? Well, listen. Let's just go, Father. That's in verse 38. He said, I find no fault in him. No fault at all. Amen. And then in verse number 4 of chapter 19, just a few verses on over, the Bible says in verse number 4, Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto him, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. My friend, he's two times right quick. Jesus is making practically the same statement about Jesus. Or Pilate is making the same statement. And the fact is that there's no fault in Jesus.
Right.
Well, I don't understand. How can a lost person make these findings and not trust in Him?
Yeah.
I can tell you why. We preached it this morning.
Right.
Because, my friend, he refused to let that light shine in his life to lead him to the light.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. And then we go a little bit farther. In verse number 6, when the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Three times in nine verses of Scripture, you count them. Three times in nine verses, Jesus makes the same statement three times. I find no fault in him. Find no fault in him. Find no fault in Him. I say hallelujah, what a Savior.
Amen.
That even the world, when they put Him up and they put their magnifying glass on Jesus, they find this about Him. I mean, looking in every little part of His life and all there is to look about Him, my friend, they come up with this one conclusion. I find no fault in Him.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And listen, you won't go wrong by trying Jesus. Amen. You won't go wrong in searching out who Jesus really is. You see, the world, you know, they want to say there is no God. They have nothing to base it on. You say, how do you know? Because there is a God. I know because there is a God. They're basing their facts upon what somebody else said. We were in a meeting in Tennessee. I shared a little bit this morning about that. We were up in Tennessee in a meeting the first week of December, and we'd went out and ate with the pastor and his wife and their daughter and her husband. No, yeah, her husband. Anyway, we were all sitting at a restaurant, and they had crawfish, and nobody ordered the crawfish, but the pastor's wife, she was making a big deal out of it. How can anybody eat them? And boy, she's just having a fit over them. There wasn't even one at our table, amen? And she was just, she kept on talking about, well, we got through eating, and we left, and their granddaughter had went back to the kitchen. We thought she went to the bathroom, but she went back to the kitchen and she asked for one crawfish. And so she brought it out and put it on the table in front of her grandmother. And this woman liked to come unglued in a restaurant. Amen. I mean, it shook her up about this crawfish. And so we go on to the church and they bring the crawfish with them. I don't know that you're not supposed to take crawfish to church, but anyway, they took the crawfish with them and got there at church. And so they put it over there. She also plays the piano for the church. And so they put it over there on the piano. And she's having another fit. I mean, not a Holy Ghost fit, but a Holy Crawfish fit. Amen. And she's really having a fit. She said, "Oh, I don't see how anybody can eat them things. They're so nasty. They're so awful there." And boy, she's going on down the road. And her son says, "Mom, have you ever eaten a crawfish?" And she said, "No, I haven't, and I'm not going to. They're awful." He said, "But how do you know they're awful?" "Well, just look." And you know what? She had no legitimate argument about crawfish. Because she'd never tried them. Do you realize that's where most folks are concerning Jesus? They've never tried Him. They have never found themselves. Now, listen to what I'm saying. They have never found themselves in that bind, in that place of sorrow, in that place of heaviness, in that place of destruction. They have never come to realize that they're one that's on the road to hell. That's never come before them. In other words, that light has never shone in their life. And now, my friend, because it never has, and they've never felt the need for Jesus, they've just pushed Him aside and says He's not real. Based upon the fact that they... Here's the only truth is about them. They say there is no Jesus because they have never accepted Him.
Right. Amen. Right.
Amen. That's all theirs is based upon.
Yes.
The truth part of it was she didn't like the crawfish because she had never tried it.
Right.
Amen. Yes. That's where the world is.
Yes.
They've never tried Jesus, and so they just assume He's not real.
Right.
He's not in my life. Well, that doesn't... Listen, what about a person that's not a drunk?
Yeah.
Alcohol is not in their life.
Right.
Hey, listen, do we not understand tonight that the devil works on lies?
Yeah.
The Bible says he's the father of lies. You know what that means? He's the beginning. He's the instigator of lies. He's the one that starts the lie in your life.
Right.
Amen. He's the one that begins that work in your life that brings about a lie. He's the one that gets you in a jam and to a point that then after He gets you in that jam, He gives you a lie thinking that it gets you out of it. Listen to me. A lie has never gotten anyone out of their jam. It's created a bigger jam.
That's right. Yes.
Amen. All of these young people today, when I say young, I'm not talking about necessarily this age, though some this age. I'm talking about some in their 20s and in their 30s and even in their 40s, my friend. They have become habitual liars. You know why? Listen to me, because when they got in a jam, the devil gave them a lie to get out, and they didn't really get out of the jam. They just got deeper in the jam, and the devil comes along and gives them another lie, and another lie, and another lie. All of a sudden, they've lost everything that is anything in their life.
Right.
They've lost it. They've given it up. What? For a lie.
Yes. Right.
Well, I'm telling you, what we need is the truth.
Yes.
Jesus is that truth. Amen. You'll find no fault in Him. Hey, you listen to me. Now you go away from here and you start trying to find out about Danny Long. You'll find out some things you won't like. Amen. But it ain't me that's on trial. It's Jesus. Yeah, you find out about His followers. You go sticking your nose in everybody else's life and you'll find a bunch of... the world would call us hypocrites. Because
sure.
We say we're saved, we are born again. We don't live that life. That is the truth.
Right.
We don't live it anymore. But when they go to poking their nose in there, they don't bother to get dates.
Right.
They just find out all the faults you've got. All the faults you've got. Oh, dear Lord, are they in for a treat? Amen. All the faults that you have. And they get the list. They got an investigator. And they get the list and they bring it before the world and they say, look here, what all these folks have done. Look at these members at Northside Baptist Church. Every one of them. Look at you. Oh, goodness. Look. My friend, listen to me. They'll find that in us. You say, how do you know they're going to find that about me? Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If they really did their research, they would find out we're more proof of the Scriptures than they thought we were.
Right. That's right. Yep.
For all have sinned.
Yes.
I guess you're right there.
Right. Yes, sir.
I guess you're right there. Amen.
Right.
Well, I'm telling you, listen to me. But when you try Jesus, you get your investigator.
Yep.
Pay them the high dollars.
Right.
Let them search out Jesus. And you know what they'll find? They'll find this one old girl. She says, I don't know all about him, but I do know this. When I was living with my fifth man,
right.
Not my fifth husband, but my fifth man,
yeah.
When I was living with him, this man called Jesus came along,
yeah.
And he forgave me of all those sins.
That's right.
I don't know all about him, but I know that about him.
Yes.
And on and on and on,
right.
They gave testimony to who Jesus is.
Yes.
Pilate comes to a conclusion. I don't know who his investigator was, but he must have had one. Because he comes to a conclusion. I find no fault in him. Oh, I find fault in Peter, James, and John, and all the rest, but I find no fault in him. Amen. You'll not, hey, if you're listening tonight, you'll find no fault in Jesus. Oh, they made up lies. I mean, they made up lies at his court date. They made up lies about him, my friend. Oh, listen, do you know, they don't name a one of those of his accusers.
Right.
We're naming them.
Yeah.
That had testimonies of who he is.
Right.
They never, the Bible never gives a name. You know why? No one came forth.
Right.
That would substantiate that Jesus was not who he says he was.
Right.
And so because of that, they couldn't use the testimony.
Yes.
Right. Amen. Why? Because they did not exist.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
Oh, who is this Jesus? Well, I know this. I find no fault in Him.
Amen.
Look with me a little bit, Father, in Matthew chapter 27. In Matthew chapter number 27. There in Matthew chapter 27, the Bible tells us, gives us the story of Judas. Judas has betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. Sold him for 40 pieces of silver.
Yeah.
Even kissed him on the cheek to betray him. Amen. Well, I wonder how many folks have kissed the cheek of Jesus,
right.
Only to die in their sins and go to hell.
Yes.
Judas did.
Yes, he did.
He was not a saved man.
Right.
He was lost. This is what the Bible says in verse number 3, chapter number 26. Of the book of 27, I'm sorry, chapter 27, verse number 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. Notice how it words it. He did not repent of the sin. He repented himself. Now, he found in himself the sorrow that what he had done, but he never asked for forgiveness. And then the Bible says, he repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and elder, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood.
Yeah.
You know what Judas realized? Jesus was innocent.
Yes, yes.
The blood he shed was pure and clean. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, Judas realized that. He stopped and think about it. He had followed in the steps of Jesus. Literally, step by step, he had followed in the steps of Jesus. He had sat, my friend, at the feet of Jesus when Jesus would preach to them a message, when Jesus would teach them a lesson.
Yes.
Amen. Judas sat there.
Right.
He heard all. He was there, my friend, and watched Jesus raise those that were lame. lift them up to where they could walk. He was there and witnessed when Jesus touched their eyes and healed their sight. He was there, my friend, when lepers were healed. He saw Jesus do all of this. He came to a conclusion at the end of His life. And this is the end of His life. He come to this conclusion. I have betrayed innocent blood. He said, I'm a lie, but He's truth. Oh, my friend, listen to me. Do you realize what this means to the Christian? We ought to be a-shouting. Why? This is my Savior that they can't help but say something good about. The world can't help but... Their testimony about Jesus is not putting Him down, not making Him any less than who He claims to be, my friend, but they are in actuality lifting Him up. Glory to God, what a Savior that I have tonight, that the world cannot find fault in Him. Glory to God, I'm saved to the uttermost. Why? Because of the God that I believe in. Has nothing to do with my works. It has to do all with Him. He's innocent. Amen. The blood of Jesus. Oh my. His blood was shed. Why? Why didn't He kill another goat? Because goat's blood is not innocent.
That's right.
But Jesus, there was no other man that could be crucified.
Amen.
But Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't care what they say, even the world backs it up.
Yes. Yes.
I say hallelujah.
Amen.
I say glory to God.
Yes.
And praise the Lamb of God.
Right.
All we got is something to shout about. That's all we got.
Yes.
I think I'm going to quit. Are you stupid? Excuse me. I know we're not supposed to use those kind of words anymore. They become cuss words. Oh, I can use those real cuss words. It's all right. But I'd say stupid. And that's stupid. But you ain't supposed to say stupid. But stupid is still stupid. Did you know that? Whether you use the word or not, stupid is still stupid. There ain't nothing them stupid people do about it either. Amen. You know why? They're just stupid. Amen. Now, I'm not looking for any other meetings. And you're stupid if you think I am. Amen. I'm just... The truth will always stand. This, you can't use this word and you can't say it that way. That's all going to fall one day. Did you know that? Amen. But the truth will always stand. Well, hallelujah. All we got is a Savior that we can shout about. Too bad we don't take that leeway and just shout about Him. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Look with me in Matthew 27 and verse number 54. Matthew 27 and verse number 54. Jesus is being crucified. He's hanging on the cross of Calvary. And in verse number 54, the Bible says, "Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God." They were right, but they were wrong. He not was, but He is.
That's right. Amen.
This is not was, but He is the Son of God. They recognized that He is the Son of God, but they too thought He's dead, or He's dying. He's about to take His last breath. He'll cease to be. But oh no, my Jesus. My Jesus, my friend, is going in that tomb. And my friend, in one day, in about 3 days, as a matter of fact, He's coming out of there victorious over death, hell, and the grave.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah, my friend. I'm telling you what. We ought to be running the aisles.
Right.
Hey, if God's in it, we'll miss the 6 feet.
Right.
Amen. You say, but I don't want to. If we get to shouting and all. My friend, if God ain't got enough power to put a hedge about us, we in trouble.
Amen.
We in trouble. Better run home right quick.
Right.
Of course, it won't do you any good to do that because it already may have gotten in your house.
Right.
Amen. You can't get away.
Right.
Amen. You just can't get away. Praise the Lord. Oh, the centurion. He said, truly, this was the Son of God. He recognized Jesus. This man watched the earthquake shook and trembled. That place literally came apart. Boy, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. The only way man could grab it and rip it, it would be at the bottom. You get a hold to this side and I'll get a hold to that side and let's rip the veil. That's all we could have done is ripped it from the bottom up. But the Bible says it ripped from the top downward. That rip come from somebody above.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, we ought to be a ripping. Hallelujah. We ought to be a ripping tonight. Boy, we only ones that got something to shout about tonight. There ain't no other God like Him. Amen. There is no other Savior like Him. Hallelujah. Hey, religion won't give you what Jesus will give you. He'll satisfy Miss Pam saying, He's all I need. 51 years, my friend, have come and gone. He's all I need. I haven't had to get the new revised version.
Right. Amen.
Wow!
Yeah.
I haven't had to get that new, more powerful. Amen?
Yeah.
He's powerful enough.
Right.
Praise God. Even the old centurion, old hardened heart centurion, looked and said, this was the Son of God. Amen. Not only that, we go on going backwards now. Matthew chapter number 8. Matthew chapter number 8. And the Bible says, and it does, it says, it keeps on talking. Amen. And the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter number 8, in verse 28, and when he was come to the other side, this talking about Jesus, into the country of the Gergesenes, and that may not be right, but they know who they are. There met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God?
Right.
Even the devil knows there's a Jesus.
Yes.
He's got folks running around in the world saying, Jesus is not real. There is no God. The devil's got folks saying that.
Right.
But he knows the truth.
Yes.
He didn't say, if thou art Jesus. No, they stated the fact that Jesus is who he said he is.
Right. Right.
Isn't that great? Even hell knows who Jesus
right.
is.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Amen. Right. Boy, to know him, to know him as our Savior. I'm not kidding. We ought to be a shouting.
Yeah.
Well, I am so surprised at how many of us Baptists we don't believe in shouting. He said, "Well, I believe in it. Well, we don't practice it."
Right. Right. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
We ought to.
Yes.
Look, you say, but that's an emotion. Thank God.
Right.
Do you know how much you're worth without emotions? Zero. You ain't worth a plug nickel.
Right.
I've never seen a plug nickel, but they say they print them.
Yeah.
I mean, I reckon they do. There's plenty of them everywhere you go. There's a plug nickel. Amen. But listen, I'm telling you, even the devil knows there's a God. And the devil knows that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what he said.
Yes.
The devil knows that. Man, we ought to be a shouting tonight because that's our God.
Yes.
Look what the world is describing to you. Look at the kind of God the world is describing to you. Telling you, this is the kind of God you've got. That's what the world's telling us. Who ought to know better than us? But I like their testimony. I'm enjoying their testimony. I'll shout over their testimony of who He is. Because He's my Savior. Amen. I mean, here is Jesus. Boy, they cried out. I want to read it again in verse 29. He said, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God?
Yeah.
Amen. What's happening? You're here to persecute us before time? They know something.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
They know something.
Right.
Are you listening? They know something. You say, what are you talking about? You ought to read your Bible and find out.
Right.
Even the devil knows that their days are numbered.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
They recognize this. They're talking about knowing the end times. They recognize this in Jesus' day. They recognize there is end times.
That's right.
And they recognize that they're coming.
That's right.
Amen. That's more than most of us Baptists know.
Right. Yes, sir.
Amen. If we knew that, that'd help us a whole lot.
Right.
Amen. I mean, you know what it done? It put the fear of God in the devils.
That's
If we knew that much. Oh, no. I'm not talking about saying we did. I'm talking about we knew that much. That there is an end day. There's a last day. There's the end times. Jesus is coming back after us. And we better get ready. They was afraid that day had done slipped upon them. Amen. That's what they were talking about. They were afraid that day had done caught them unaware. Bible speaks about that. They were afraid that day had caught them asleep. Bible speaks about that. Amen. You ought to get in that book, find out what the Bible does speak about. Boy, glory to God, it'll light your fire. Amen. It'll get you dancing in the light.
Amen.
One day I'm going to get me one of them pens. It don't only write on one end, but it lights on the other. Amen. Praise God. Then I'll probably, God say, he'll never use that illustration again. Amen. So I'll have a pen. It'll do me no good. Amen. Probably could sell it to a bunch of Baptists.
That's right.
Because about what most Baptists have got ain't doing them no good.
Preach, brother.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
If it don't cause you to get wound up, something's wrong with your rubber band.
Right. That's right.
I'm serious, folks.
Yeah.
I'm tired of preachers telling me, well, that's all emotions.
Yeah.
We don't need emotions around here. You know what Jesus did when he went to the tomb of Lazarus? He wept. That's an emotion. When he looked over Jerusalem, you know what he did? He wept.
Right.
You look at your Bible, that's not the only time you find out something.
Yeah.
He wept.
Yeah.
He was moved with compassion. You know what that is?
Right.
Yeah. I'm telling you, folks, listen to me.
Yes.
If Jesus did it, we're going to come along and condemn him? Huh?
Yeah.
You don't have to run the aisles. It might do you some good, but... You don't have to, but there ain't nothing wrong with somebody that does. Don't quit judging people. Amen. If you don't like the way they run, run in behind them. What are you doing? I'm correcting his run. Amen. I mean, what's wrong with us? Hallelujah. What's wrong with glory to God? Praise the Lord. What's wrong with that in a service? Ain't nothing wrong with it. You say, well, do I have to do that to go to heaven? No, you ought to do it because you're going to heaven, not because you got to.
Yeah. Amen.
Because
yeah.
You know what we're going to do in heaven?
Yeah.
We're going to sing.
Woo!
Danny Long is going to sing. And I hope that there's some of my critics around.
That's right.
Amen. I hope God puts my mansion right next to some of their mansions. Some of those that don't believe in emotional.
Right.
I'm going to shout for about 1,000 years. Just out the window there, toward their house. And then I'm going to take another breath and I'm going to say, you think that's something? Honey, I'm just getting started.
Right.
Wait, we're about to run out of time. We've just got eternity to go.
That's right.
Amen. Why don't we get practiced up and ready?
Yeah.
I don't want to get there and say, now, Lord, where's the class for teaching me how to act in heaven?
Yeah.
I want to get there knowing. Amen. You say, Brother Danny, we're going to know. We ought to know now.
Sure.
We ought to know. We ought to get a little excited.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm serious, folks. Look what a Savior we have. Hey, we have a Savior, my friend, that there's no fault found in. We have a Savior, my friend, that he shed innocent blood. We have a Savior, my friend, that not only was the true God, but is the true God. My friend, we got a Savior that even the devils testify of His existence.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Let's look at one more. Look with me in John chapter number 1. Well, first, let me read you the verse again. Let me look here. Give me time. I'm getting old, folks. You just put up with me for a little while. Won't be gone long. I'll be gone out of your way. In John. Let's just go ahead and go to John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1. We talked about Jesus being the light. But John chapter number 1 and verse number 19. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse number 19, and this is the record of John. In other words, this is the Word of God. And when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, talking about Jesus, who art thou? they're talking to John, but they're talking about Jesus. And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. They thought John was the Christ. Do you realize how easy it is to fool folks? They had, listen to me, the devil had fooled some people. He would have liked for them to have believed that day that John was Jesus. And then from that day on to believe that John was Jesus and to base their entire life upon the fact that John is Jesus, the devil would like to do it. He likes to deceive. He's had years of experience. A lot more than you and I even know. I'm talking about years. I don't know how long the devil's been in existence, but he is a created being. And he was created before man was, okay? So he's had all these years under his belt of deceiving. He knows, oh, can't fool me. You're already a fool.
Yes.
He can.
Yes, he can.
Amen. He can. Don't get mad at me for saying that. He can. Yes. We have to be on guard. Because even after we get saved, he still gets us confused about some issues.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He'll have us falling far off in some areas of doctrine.
Right.
Amen. We have to be careful.
Yes.
We have to be careful, my friend. And here, they're accusing John of being Jesus. Hey, what a great accusation, amen. But in verse 21, and they ask him, what then, art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. And they said, aren't thou that prophet? And he answered, no. He wanted them to know the truth. Oh, he could have gloried in that day. But Jeff, can you imagine if people really thought you were Jesus?
Right.
Man, listen, you could have said, bring me all of your money. Bring me the title to your properties.
Yeah.
You know what people would do?
Yeah.
They would. We already see folks doing this stupid stuff.
Sure. Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But John wanted them to know the truth about the Savior.
Right.
It's not me. It's Him.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Look at verse number 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You know what he was doing? Listen to me.
Yeah.
Letting his light shine.
Right.
And he's telling them that Jesus is the one.
Right.
Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world.
Right.
What a testimony.
Yeah.
What a testimony that John is giving. John is speaking. He's the only one out of this crowd that we brought up tonight. He's the only one that can speak truthfully from his heart.
Yes.
Who is Jesus? He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world.
Amen.
In verse number 34, another day is coming gone. He said, I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day, in verse 35 is the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. I'm going to tell you, this is Danny theology, okay? I do not believe that John said, behold, Lamb of God.
Right.
I believe he hollered out.
Right.
I believe he made gestures. I believe he said, behold!
Right.
Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world.
Right.
I believe, my friend, he put everything he had into that. What an announcement that this man was making.
Right.
It was not one from his vocal cords. It was one from his heart.
Right.
To a people that didn't know who Jesus was. And he was declaring, that's the reason we lift our voice.
Right.
That's the reason we holler. This is too important of a message, my friend, to mumble it out. But we need to let the world know, this is Jesus.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I believe he yelled from the bottom of his lungs. I believe, my friend, that it shook earth. I'm being honest with you. What an announcement that was made. God of all, you got to understand, back in those days, that's the way they made announcements.
Right.
Uh-huh. They'd ring a bell, get everybody's attention. That's what he was doing. He was ringing the bell. He said, behold!
Right.
The bell rung out.
Yes.
The Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world.
Right.
He announced to Jesus.
Woo,
glory to God. I'm going to tell you how blessed we are. How blessed we are, my friend, that he would do that. Then, listen to me. We think about this. I'm trying to close. We think about this.